You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I am your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Alex Kochkin. Since a very early age, Alex has been aware of the vastness of consciousness and has been concerned with human evolution. This also served to develop an early and ongoing interest in the natural and physical sciences. Since early 1989, he has been consciously devoted to the spiritual and physical transformation of the individual, humanity, and of the Earth. To find more about his present work, go to www.pfcn.com. So let's meet Alex live now.
.net, Lance.
Oh, .net, I'm sorry. Thank you. Alex just corrected me. It's Oh, we're getting off to a great start here. PFCN.net. Okay. Anyway, Alex, how are you tonight?
Oh, quite good, thank you. Been not doing too much gardening this week, but other than that.
Let's just kind of jump into the middle of something here and see where we go from there. What's one of the most important things that's going on in the planet right now that we should be thinking about and concerned about?
It depends on what one is focused on. So if we're talking about what's going on the planet literally with people in the 3D realm, as one may call it, it's utter chaos. And there's no end in sight to that. If we're talking about what's to come, or what is incoming, that represents a total change, that's a whole other matter. And that's really the challenge in being able to switch one's orientation, put your focus and intention one place or the other, but it is not possible to have it both ways and to live that way. It's too distracting and disturbing. But you can be aware, though, of what's going on. It's like looking both ways and up and down when crossing streets.
Well, your recent transcripts focus a lot on making the distinction between spiritual pursuits and the, I guess you could call it, the matrix or the illusion that we're in, which includes the impending wars and the chaos and all that you said. And I think that, the listeners to these shows on BBS are pretty much aware of what's going on. So we shouldn't need to lay too much groundwork. I think that most of the people on the show that are listening to the show are interested in the transformation that's on its way or that's here now, either from some some hub of the spoke like the Mayan calendar or various prophecies. A lot of this, as you point out in your writings, have been influenced by the dark controllers. And I'm most interested in learning more about this being a fallen sector and what is beyond the fallen sector, and how do we connect to that, or are we connected, and how do we start stepping out of this the element of controlled matrix?
Wow, okay, all that in 50 minutes, huh? I think one of the things that really helped, I know many people think they know what is going on, but, for example, you can take any event, whether it be 9/11 or the Gulf of Mexico situation or anything, the potential for war. I wouldn't say that everything is impending. I would say the potential is extremely high and growing, but it is not a foregone conclusion as to the magnitude and extent of what is most likely to occur. So when I think about what's coming, it has to do with most probable. But then it's a matter of degree, and for some people that.
Sorry about any interruption, folks. Mercury is retrograde, so we're picking up where we left off. So continue, Alex. Let's hear.
Yeah.
I'm only interested in what you have to say.
Well, I think one of the things, because you asked a mouthful, and
I know,
they all are very important questions, and they bear upon a number of things in terms of reality. So if I can wind my way back to your main questions and point, maybe it would be a way to address many of these in context.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and then you know, interrupt any time you wish to interject or something.
Okay, sure.
So let's just take a look at one example, the Gulf of Mexico situation.
Yeah.
Many people looked at it and responded as the superficial of an oil spill. Later, some awareness grew that it was literally deeper than the surface.
Uh-huh.
And that there was enormous amounts of oil and toxins and something else going deep under the surface. So we have, as a matter of analogy, the contrast between a superficial understanding, looking at the surface of things,
mm-hmm.
and being able to be readily distracted by the officialdom's pronouncements of oil gone from beaches and the issue was beaches and it was all appearances, to something deeper. Then the question was, arguing over, is it one well, two wells, three wells, looking at whether it's this or that. Was it an accident or not? And then once that question comes up, various people start shouting that it's a conspiracy, it's a false flag event. They start using all kinds of terms that have crept into the mainstream awareness ever since 2001. And even there was no, where's the truth of the matter? When you start peeling this back and look at the larger picture, it is possible to see this as an actual act of war. But it is not an act of war of of one country, national flag, national interest versus another.
Mm.
It has dual aspects to it. one of them is very ordinary and can be traced to more ordinary things if one could really prove and show exactly who is responsible and who did this.
Mm-hmm.
And there you can see the complicity of all different parties, and it doesn't really matter. Everywhere you look, you will see both deliberate and quiet complicity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, once people think about this, that can be seen fairly in a fairly obvious way. But then confusion arises with many. They think to themselves, just as it was decades ago, well, don't they, meaning corporate owners or officialdom, or as it's now preferred, the controllers or powers that be, even that is confusing to people, why would they want to set off a thermonuclear bomb? Wouldn't that affect them and their children? Why would they deliberately facilitate a Gulf of Mexico situation that potentially could destroy a major portion of the planet's oceans, etc.? Wouldn't that affect them also, you see? And this is all where there's erroneous thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other aspect of it is in the invisibles, people who saw what was happening beforehand even were aware of, we'll just say, various levels of consciousness or entities or what have you that are not physical. They don't have human bodies,
mm-hmm.
but they've played a role on this planet and elsewhere for a very, very long time. And you could call them loosely a wide range or a spectrum of sort of, quote, dark forces, but they're not material ones in the ordinary sense. And this becomes a question, an esoteric question, but it's a very serious one. And very few people have really penetrated this in, you know, recent time, but it's very important because otherwise, if it can't be seen from what I'd call a spiritual context, then all that remains is the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are only able to look at it from the ordinary, and if, and this is a huge if, it were possible to even identify who really gave the orders, who actually carried them out, you see,
mm-hmm.
it would not matter one bit. It would not change anything except to enrage a certain number of people who would probably look for the pitchforks and torches, of course, and then another portion of the population would become utterly demoralized.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, there'd always be the loyalists who'd say, well, you know, it was only an accident, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But none of this is what it is all really about. And as it is with the whole issues around what took place in September of 2001,
mm-hmm.
It is my contention that when you see this from the larger picture, that you can see of two things. Number one, there is no solution from the human level to these most horrendous problems presently.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely none. And that there can only be a spiritual solution. The other thing that you arrive at is that it will never be possible for humans to ever learn the truth. And when I say truth, I mean the real who did what when kind
mm-hmm.
of truth
mm-hmm.
that is indisputable. No one will ever know that in this realm. It will not be revealed as
mm-hmm.
soon as any serious proximity to those kinds of truths come close to moving beyond the small circles of people who, you know, are fairly substantial now thanks to the internet. But when it starts moving beyond the small portions of people who are more aware of these things, I mean the deeper issues, then there will be something to distract people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there'll be wild accusations that, you know, the Russians did it, the Israelis did it, oh no, the Canadians did it. You know, it's going to be one thing after another.
Yeah.
And there will be, and it will be, depending on the need, either a minor short-term or a major long-term distraction, deliberately done.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that, because you use the word the matrix, which of course comes to us partly from science, but partly in math, but thanks to the movie series.
Yeah, right.
So that really does touch on a profound question. And so we have a situation where if the real truth it's just as a matter of a hypothetical, if it were possible to inform the world or a substantial portion of people really what took place, what it was really all about, they would probably go, in addition to the responses of anger, rage, total depression, they would also go a little mad, because it raises the question of the nature of reality. And I don't mean it from a movie perspective, I mean it from an existential perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start deconstructing these events, you start touching upon something that is a very dangerous and delicate topic for many people, even those who are very spiritually or politically, or rarely spiritually and politically aware individuals. And that is that the what the human personality rests upon has a lot to do with its memories. And since and the vast majority of these memories are ones that are shared, they're manipulated, they're essentially, you could categorize them as a type of an implanted memory or falsehoods.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you may find, X number of people who'd all agree, yes, such and such events did take place, but everyone has a different perception or a different interpretation and certainly different reactions to these things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than that, because it begs the whole question of the nature of this reality, the entire nature of human existence, and the origins of the human species as it presently views itself today. And that raises serious questions as to the nature of who each person is and the nature of reality. And in a social context, it becomes very a very serious situation. Think about World War II, for example, or World War I. Where, I wrote a short article on this recently, that at the turn of the 20th century, that being the early 1900s, there was, due to a variety of reasons, both manipulated by powers that be, but also something that was allowed to take place and reflected a certain, we'll call it, righteousness of the ordinary class of the people against the, what they would consider to be the owning class at the time. And the attitude, especially in European Western society and the huge numbers of European immigrants in coming into the United States, was that working people do not fight other working people on behalf of the owning class. This was a basic precept of class consciousness back then. You didn't know, don't need to know anything. This became a fundamental ethic. People today really don't understand this, of course, but this is the kind of perspective that gave rise to things like the Seattle General Strike, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the powers that be were already in the process of slowly, because technology was what it was back then, working towards world war and preparing who's going to, preparing the situation. And what may take a matter of months or only a few years now, back then would take many years or decades to really prepare. So, bear that in mind. Things move a little slower then. But yeah. The basic point was, you cannot arm your respective populations to fight one another if you have not altered, through meme engineering, of course, altered their perspectives and consciousness. So suddenly, it took a while, of course, from this kind of very simple ethical class-conscious type perspective, there had to be something to compel people. First, it was patriotism, nationalism, this kind of thing. But really what did it came about in World War II. And prior to that, of course, was the rise of fascism in the world and how that became such a convenient thing to vilify. So suddenly individuals who may have been just a decade prior advocating peace, advocating anti-war, advocating, this is not our war, said, oh, well, there's a really bad enemy in the world, and yes, this thing that's been implanted concerning democracy and everything, freedom of speech, et cetera, is under threat. And so now we have a larger global threat that we can put aside our differences, whatever they may be, to fight this threat. Now, at the time, even though there were those with their suspicions, nobody knew that it was basically the same group of
right.
powers that be that were creating, fostering, and facilitating the what would be called the class consciousness, the left wing or social revolutionary or communist revolutionary perspectives, and funding them at the same time, fostering, facilitating, and funding what was then later to be called the tendencies toward fascism,
right.
which at the time was equated with brutal totalitarianism. And then, of course, it was also the same group of people that was essentially orchestrating the rise of modern-day imperialism as a political economic system of capital.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all the same groups. And this became more and more evident in countries like Africa, where you'd have in a place like Zimbabwe, blocks under one group, perhaps led under a Chinese flag, another group led under a Russian flag, another group led under the U.S. flag, but all still manipulated in the same way to control that territory.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what was convenient at the time, there would be two-way alliances made, so eventually, you know, it appeared as though the U.S. interests and Chinese interests decided to go against the Russian interests, but look who really dominates now. And this is just a simple example. And I bring all this up because it's very important to see beyond the appearances of things.
Right.
And those people who, and I was one of them many decades ago, as I specialized in the 60s in understanding the power structures and the social structures and all of this and the theoretical and philosophic and economic underpinnings. I mean, this was my focus.
Uh-huh.
For positive change purposes and exposure. But these still never answered satisfactorily what the true nature of all of this was. So even though you could deconstruct these events later and look at them, we still had a couple of problems. One, huge numbers of people were led to believe and adopted the false beliefs and, of course, accumulated traumatic memories as a result of their experiences
mm-hmm.
to fight, quote, the good war against fascism.
Right.
Even if they didn't like capitalism very much, because then that was the only ideologic paradigm that existed with most people. And so if the hundreds of millions of people who died in the combination of global or international warfare over the 20th century is astonishing to
mm-hmm.
tally it up. It doesn't matter how you add it up. The numbers are enormous. And the huge numbers of people who were tricked, essentially, into giving their lives and that of their families and everything for something that was totally false. What are they to do to reconcile this in their own minds?
Hmm.
Does that mean their lives were lies? Unravel the thread a little farther. Does that mean everything their parents taught them were actually false?
Hmm.
And the things that they sacrificed, because that was embedded in the consciousness
hmm.
of the masses of people,
hmm.
to sacrifice for the betterment of your children?
Mm-hmm.
And that carries forward to them. What have they taught their children, who later, of course, many of whom, a small fraction of whom, opted to exit the system through countercultural-type perspectives and experiments in the 60s?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a simple example. It's well enough understood. There's enough history there. But even to this day, it's very disturbing for people to consider that they fought and died for a complete lie.
Yeah.
And that everything that they were brought up to, when you review popular culture, which is also, to those of us looking at this, meme engineering,
mm-hmm.
to the extreme, and people don't know that the meme engineering process consciously and deliberately, systematically began at the same time, around the start of the 1900s. And so when we go forward to all of this, you can see how any of these major traumatic events in terms of the humanities concerned were manipulated by ostensibly human agencies. But then the question really is, what is it that was perhaps orchestrating them?
Right.
because that's the only thing people could understand. And you know, it's like the one of the ultimate memes that has infiltrated into the spiritual New Age movement as well, or tendencies actually. It was never really a movement. Is that America was always the great hope, and was the land of light and all of this kind of thing.
Right. Right.
And but it's almost inconceivable to think that before. That as the first boatloads were arriving in their wretched condition on the shores of this continent, that there already was the notion of establishing essentially something that would be comparable to the Death Star planet of Star Wars tales.
Yes.
And that this particular continent would become the headquarters for that, and that in the as it's developed over time, it, too, would become disposable, which is what we're seeing now. I'll get into that briefly.
Okay.
And this is what's it's very important to see beyond the social reality, why it isn't so much to become angry or upset. It's to see what it truly is all about.
Right.
And it's more important to take a look at some of the spiritual qualities to all of this. What has it all been about? Because we have very limited time this evening. I mean, I could talk for 2 hours on this topic, but
we'll get you back. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's very important to kind of skip ahead and get more of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
I know that of recent decades, there's been increased exposure of the role of various outside agencies in the manipulation of the human species. We'll set aside modern history for a moment here. And I'll get back to the Gulf of Mexico example, the other side of this dual aspect to it. So there's a matter of truth to a lot of that. But even that, it becomes a matter of pointing a finger, which ETs are good guys, which are bad guys. Were all the gods and lords of all the Bibles, the religions, and all of these things, were they all dark entities? Were they all ETs mistaken for something else,
mm-hmm.
you know, projected by humans? It's a mixture. Of yes and no, to give a short answer to that, the thing is that a few thousand years ago there were those who tried to retain some knowledge of the deepest mysteries of existence and pass them along to the present. Pretty much, it failed. I mean, it was a tough task.
Right.
And there were many distortions. Very often these deeper truths were manipulated inadvertently or very deliberately and conveniently,
mm-hmm.
so that it suddenly the truth became the lies and all of this.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's very important for people not to presume that they got the whole picture.
Oh, yes.
Now, there were many things developed to help control humanity over the recent millennia. Religions were very, very important.
Yep.
And they all emanate from the same sources.
Right.
None of them were differentiated. They were just different flavors, not unlike fascism, communism, capitalism, all emanating from non-human sources, but with human agency helping to shape it, of course.
Right.
You need to give it the real-world touch, after all.
that
was also anticipated that at some point there would be enough of the population would begin questioning, looking outside the box. Perhaps those control systems themselves would break down.
Right.
So initially a solution was, well, let's create competing religions. But it was no different than the forces that manipulated global warfare. And then even that they knew would wear thin with some. They go, yeah, you know, this is all starting to sound pretty much like the same deal. And they start looking outside the box. So somebody very clever had to start thinking, what will we have outside the box? And so in the mid-1800s, these new modern alternate religions were created, one of which, of course, was known as theosophy. And that fed into many other things and was essentially the foundations for the entire New Age tendencies.
Right.
And, you know, it was well thought out. I got to hand it to them, you know. And it was many, many, many different ways as more and more people were to seek ways to look outside the box. Always something else, but you've never left the box. It's like an infinitely expanding maze, and it starts looking like the Matrix movie.
Yes.
And you know, and then of course some people started looking at the spiritual matters, saying, "Well, okay, this is beyond human. So what else is there? Is there a way out of here?" And the notion of a transcendent, being able to transcend this spiritually, the consciousness. So there was a huge interest in consciousness and ways to transcend this reality, knowing that there was something not right about it,
mm-hmm.
even though no one knew what it was. And so, you know, from the 60s also, this was pursued not only by earnest and honest seekers, but also by the powers that be and agencies that were very non-human as well. So we get to this stage, and many there were very few spiritual teachers who even understood this whole shell game that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reviewing the work of a couple here who I've had a high regard for, and they came the closest to at least knowing the difference. The question is, what did they do with their work? And objectively, regardless of their intent, what did it serve is why I'm reviewing all this again 20 years later. You know, fresh perspective, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What may have been inspiring and helpful once, perhaps I need to look at it a little differently again. So this was a very, very a very tricky situation. And as soon as you thought you understood something, something new was up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say that that those who have in the recent decades had near-death experiences or similar kinds of experiences, of them, I'm not saying all, of them, a small percentage had very profound ones where they actually were in connection, in contact with what exists outside of the fallen realms, to get back to your first point.
Right,
what exists outside of this, that is beyond this universe. This is immense. And this touches upon, really, one of the greatest secrets of the mysteries for thousands of years that was deliberately withheld by those who did know. And after all, even they preferred to ignore it and forget it themselves because it just irritated the heck out of them. And that was that there really was a realm of creation that operated with a quality of oneness that permeated everything,
mm-hmm.
yet at the same time had individuations and differences, but
mm-hmm.
they were not violent, conflictual differences because of this quality of this oneness that permeated it. But here in this, you know, what we'll call it the fallen sector, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
there was only that of these differences, and they would be deliberately facilitated into conflict with one another.
Right.
And the question really then came of to what end, or I should say to what ends, was all of this about? Because that really becomes the question of why, how did it happen, and because it's very confusing to people. And then, of course, the question is, how do we get reconnected?
Right.
Because
right.
that notion of having differences and oneness and there not being a conflictual conflict situation is quite remarkable to most people. And so there began a process in just the 20th century of first one or two and a few others and a little more, and it would be like cracks in the prison wall, so to speak, and they'd be perhaps invisible ones, but there it would be. And these were connections to outside. And so it began again, that there was knowledge and, you know, that is not how things are. But today most people who are spiritually minded are still under the false notion that is how things are. That is the nature of creation itself, that there is things that maybe went to a little extreme, but that that there's light and dark, positive and negative, all of these opposites is not how things work, you know, the dynamics of opposites, and that wasn't taught and encoded in philosophy even.
Right, right.
And that is not that is not true. But that's how things, that reflects existence here.
Right.
And all other levels that were similar like that. So.
And also the idea that death is inevitable, that we age, that we're...
Well, that all becomes secondary things, yes. Of course, all of those things become part and parcel and supportive of all of this. But one of the most important things is, and this was an issue thousands of years ago, as some people who had connection to these deeper truths beyond, you know, beyond everything, there was an opposite that was set in motion that basically said, that's how things are. What are you talking about? Are you crazy? You know, there's always differences and good and bad, good and evil, all this kind of stuff. That's the nature of reality. That's how God made it. May the best win. That's how evolution works, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the only conclusion would come then, my word, then that means that the highest level of creation must be insane. If this is what they, if this is what was chosen and allowed to continue.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I'm saying, you see, even from the human perspective, you can work it back and say, this is nuts. And so you either think, well, God, everything's crazy, but it can't be.
Right.
And so you can intend to connect and intend to see things differently. And from just the moments of maintaining this quality of intention, so you don't need to be some fancy psychic or something like that, you know, abilities to do this, you can begin to start deconstructing reality itself and the nature of your own existence. And at times there will be breakthroughs and you will have, you know, the transcendent knowing that will occur. And at some point it becomes embedded in your normal awareness so that it can't be anything other than that.
Well, now, how
How's that for a short answer?
Well, that is, I'm speechless. But let's tie this into something that seems to be of great concern to most people today, and that is the concept of, let's say a shifting of energies. There are various forms of this, and we know that some of these are meme engineering, and some of these are, you know, they're all infected with some kind of dark matrix, but some of them have more elements of truth than others. You know, the idea that sometime around 2012, there are various cycles ending, that we tip into the galactic plane, that we're going into a place that we've never been before, or that there are corrective energies that are incoming. Some people refer to those as the pillars of celestial fire. Some refer to that as the transformation or the transmutation of matter into spirit, and on and on. So let's bring this into present-day focus, which appears to be some kind of ongoing battle between the good guys and the bad guys.
Well, I think there is not a battle going on. I know that for a period on and off, over a considerable period of time, up until recent years even, there were different levels that you could call sort of a battle between those that were, like, rescuing the miners trapped below.
Right. Okay,
and those that were still manipulating the miners to stay trapped, saying, "Well, it's okay. See, here's a new light bulb," and prison or a shopping mall, and you never can leave. You know, however you want to look at it,
right.
We have all sorts of wonderful metaphors for it these days. So, from my sense, because I'm one who was aware of what there was outside and pursued this with greater and greater focus over time. So I think that it's important, first of all, to recognize that, A, the dark forces, so to speak, that continue to dominate here overall, just because, you know, a home turf advantage, you could say.
Right.
So they dominate the human awareness at that level in society. There's no question about that.
Right.
It would be foolish to deny it, I think.
Yeah.
Are in a state where they know things are changing. They are compelled, like the fox and the scorpion fable, right? They are compelled to act a certain way. They can be as brilliant and clever as possible. And they can only pursue certain things, certain avenues. Otherwise, they need to acknowledge their error, which to most of those forces, we're not talking about humans right now.
Right.
We're talking about levels of consciousness and spheres of influence. In order to acknowledge that, it's tantamount to the human mind saying, oh my God, everything that I've learned, lived for, risked my life for, my family has, etc., has been a lie or has been wrong. However you choose this.
Right.
And it is a simple enough gesture to say, okay, I give up, it's not working. But you have to get to a certain point. And if you've been dominating for so long, on the whole, you would tend to prefer to maintain in your position, however that could be.
Mm-hmm.
So what is going on is that it is possible, and we have in the ancient records evidence of this, of course, that there is also a dark force correction process, perhaps the decision overall. You know, there are differences. It's like collectives of people, you know, different opinions overall. How are we going to dominate the world? But everyone has their own ideas about this. And some of them say, well, you know, I kind of like Mesopotamia. And someone says, well, I like the Asia. And all right, well, we'll divvy up the world, you know. And
right.
Can we make at least a gentleman's agreement type of thing? Well, it's a bit like that.
Yeah.
And so some of them may just say, you know, this isn't working. We're going to take everything we can and everything, you know, that we've done so far and stash it away for, you know, a future thing. And let's kind of clear the table. This is a mess. Because what we have set in motion has been very useful in many ways. But at the same time, it's unmanageable. And so you have some of these dark forces that advocate global destruction. And at the same time, you may have these same dark forces, same elements of them, advocating peace, enlightenment, prosperity, all the nice-sounding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll send in their messiahs and their saviors and preach this to people. Why? Because it's an efficient self-management system. There's less energy needed to maintain, you know, what they consider rightly, you know, their creations.
Mm-hmm.
To maintain right. them. So you've got a, you know, how would you like to do this, the consumer society or the wartime fascism? It's the same people running it, you see?
Right.
So as below, so above. I mean, believe everywhere you look now, this consistency of the as above, so below, and vice versa is so apparent. Once you start to understand the deeper patterns, it's, you know, it's like Neo in the Matrix movie. He knows the difference. So, you know, that's very important because many people can get tricked into this, either thinking, oh, one more movement, one more peace thing, one more treaty. Stop.
No,
you know?
It's all.
It's well-intentioned from an ordinary level. I would never dispute the intentions being good, but it is not possible from that level of knowing and existence to affect the kind of changes. And so this brings up then a spiritual solution, but at the same time we have various dark energies creating what I've come to call false ascension, false spiritual enlightenment. And its purpose is to keep the energy trapped, to keep those people who represent, you know, maybe a more sophisticated knowing and a more persistent seeking, etc., keep them trapped, create another layer to the box. Another layer to the shopping mall lets them think they've left.
Right.
And, but they haven't. And this begs the question of what was it all about? And the origins of the dark or the origins of evil, which becomes one of the most important litmus tests of any spiritual teaching or doctrines or you know, what have you, in addition to that of with the first one, which is the biggest mystery of them all. That there really is another way of existence outside of this space of conflictual polarizations.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but at this point, there has been an enormous effort made at many, many, many levels over a long time to truly understand what the frick happened here.
Right,
you know, it
right.
would be like headquarters sending in their best, and then they go, you know, we haven't heard from them in a while. They send in another team. What happened to the first team? Well, they went native. Another group joined them, you know. And I go, oh, no, now what? And they said, well, we didn't hear from the next team. What happened? They go, well, we went native too. And so on it goes. Eventually, somebody gets the picture and realizes that there's a serious situation, and there's really only going to be two ways to deal with this. One, the extreme measures, which basically is like hitting the delete button.
Right.
The other, I mean, we're talking at a cosmic creation level where, you know, the notion is perhaps the first, second, 3D levels are unsalvageable.
Yes.
They certainly seem to be for a long time. And then the other perspective is, what can we do to correct this, to do it so that good and bad, you know, right and wrong, all can be for the higher purpose of spiritual evolution and getting back on track of why all this, you know, why creation to begin with?
Okay.
I mean, which, of course, why humans? Why creation? What is the purpose of all this? And so this is where we're at today, where I feel at least that that we've crossed an important threshold. It is not about foolish dates of 2011, 2012, 2013. This is all a lot of silly stuff. That it coincides with this period is another matter. But it is not a matter of dates. And what it is a matter of is that we're about 10 years past due, roughly, in terms of what could have and should have. But it turned out to be one of the toughest situations in existence here. But it was so very, very important. And where we're at today is the possibility exists to bring about such a quality of change that that it would actually be as if all of the worst that may be imagined or not imagined never happened. Everything set right, so to speak. And that's the correction energies that are coming from the very high levels of creation right now, outside what we would call this fallen zone.
Okay.
And that is the extraordinary story that is taking place right now, and it's coming in at the 3D level now, finally.
Okay, so you're saying that the choice, the delete button, is not going to be pushed. That option has already passed.
Well, let's say it's on the table, the hand is away from it. That's, as I say, it's an extreme measure.
Okay. And so what we're looking at is some kind of corrective energy that will, once affected, makes all of this basically go away as if it never happened.
It's like your computer hard drive has got a series of intractable Trojan viruses, and you think
right.
you get rid of one, and another comes up, and
right.
it's just been endless.
Yes.
And so these correction energies are not only the ultimate, so to speak, in an antivirus inoculant, it's also a whole new operating system that eventually alters the physicality of what it resides in to begin with, eventually.
Oh. Okay.
And part of it is that so it never can happen again.
Well, let's hope so. So
errors can still occur,
yeah.
but they don't need
right.
to be so horribly destructive and self-destructive also.
So what you're saying is that we wouldn't be copying the virus into the new system.
That's the plan.
Okay. Now, from today forward, how might we see that playing out? Because obviously, the old systems and paradigms and the corrupt, the apples are all corrupt.
The momentum is still there. They
right.
still have momentum. There's no question. It would be foolishness to say otherwise.
All right. So how do we discern what between what's true and false, and you know how to really move in alignment with the highest energies that that are here now?
So you're asking for a few thousand years of accumulation in 5 minutes.
Well, that should be easy.
I think the important thing is this: that rather than keep shopping around and pursuing yet one more piece of information.
Okay.
I think for those individuals who are at a state where they can say, however it got to this point, I can see that we're not going to fix it from the level of knowledge, consciousness, energies, etc. that we presently have.
Right.
Hence, there can only be some source, some additional help from outside. An individual may believe or acknowledge that they carry within them a divine spark of creation.
Okay.
They go, if that's the case, let us let that become, you know, what my attention is, rather than the endless parade of suffering.
Yes.
Because it is now, with 7 billion, pushing 7 billion humans on the planet, endless suffering. And while it's wonderful to be of aid, and those people who are recipients of relief, you know, can connect with that quality of caring and goodness that's there,
mm-hmm.
that the bigger question has to do with how to make this so that never again is the case, and we can move to a whole new level of existence where this does not become endlessly engendered in one form or another,
mm-hmm.
and replicated like a bad virus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's really where individuals such as, you know, myself and others have put our attentions increasingly over the years and turned from some of these other things, because we recognize there'll always be people out of their goodness trying to help, but that's really not what's going to make everything change. So there will be no need for that.
Right.
It would be
right.
much better to use that energy for creative purposes. So I think the important thing is, first of all, is for those individuals who can, at least however they may feel it or acknowledge it, is to put their intention and then their attention to welcoming these very high correction energies, finding some means, even if it's a simple matter of being very quiet and not looking outside all the time, but to find that quality, because there's something else going on. And that is, and this is like putting on their own oxygen mask, okay?
Right.
The old adage, put your oxygen mask before helping other people. So there's another quality, and that is, even if humans seem incredibly dumber and everything in every respect and less discerning today, something
right.
has happened over time where the human personality self, the human self, has become more dense, more substantive.
Okay.
And there are possibilities for the human self to develop and evolve into something very different than perhaps they could have even been possible 10,000 years ago or 100,000 years ago. At the same time, there's this other quality that we might call the higher being or the soul self that has this intimate connection and interface with the human self. And
okay.
this is something that we would have to continue another time.
Okay.
And this is an extraordinary situation. And there are those, either for good, out of ignorance, but out of good intentions, or out of deliberate, you know, malevolence, are facilitating this as part of this dark correction, this dark process. And that is to promote the human self prematurely as the ultimate. And, that has been a pursuit of one faction of dark forces for a very, very long time, and to promote that. And,
so where are all the light forces? If the dark forces are basically, this is their real estate, and we're their
But there's something, even if you were to accept that the dark created the human physically,
right.
the concept, the template, the very metic, whatever you want to call it, you know, that it was about, has divine origins.
Yes.
Because
okay.
And that even if it was implemented through what I call the meat grinder of the dark side, that now, with all that you may be considered good and bad that has occurred in the entire sweep of human existence on this planet, for example, the possibility exists for something extraordinary to occur that represents a higher level, not a restoration, but a higher level of attainment of what the whole purpose of creating a physical being that was sentient to begin with. Despite all of the horrendous things that some people have discovered that have been done to control, manipulate, and basically screw around with this from
right.
day one.
Well, we're going to have to segue out, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We're just getting to the nitty-gritty, the meat and the jewels here. So we're going to have you back, Alex, because this is a terrific dialogue, and it's so important for all of us to begin thinking and communicating at this level, because it really does, it's about peeling away the layers and getting to, you know, really what's important and stop focusing on the BS.
Well, and no one's asked me to try to squeeze this all into, you know, 45 minutes before. Except you.
And then Mercury cut us off for a few minutes, so I'll make this up to you for the next time. We'll pick up where we left off, because I feel like the plane is kind of starting to take off. We'll pick this up back in the air, and we'll start taking this to where, you know, we can get some kind of good orderly direction going. So I want to thank you so much, Alex, for being on the show. I just love talking to you, and tell people where your website is again, because there's some terrific writing there. It's all free, freely available.
Well, you have it on your website, but it's PFCN. That would be Peter, Francine, Charlie, Nancy.net.
Wonderful. Yeah. Alex, thanks again, and we'll set and rematch.
All right. Have a good evening.
All right. You too.
Thanks.
And
bye-bye.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.